Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What is going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you, 97.5, the Fanatic. Wow, what a win. Used to this kind of coming down to the wire anytime the Flyers are playing a team that's not any good, but they put this one to bed early. Jack Eichel's point streak comes to an end. Of course, he's injured, doesn't play tonight, and the Flyers take care of business. 6-1 over the Buffalo Sabres. Jack Eichel had scored in 17 straight. Kind of nice of him to sit this one out. And James Van Riemsdyk nets 2. Beautiful thing as Philly kind of put this one away early with 6-0 after the second period. If you were there, as always, you can have the opportunity to react, weigh in, and let us know what the atmosphere was like down there at 610-632-0975 as this team continues to do some damage. They're holding on to that second wild card position. But with the number of points they have, they'd be in second place in the Atlantic behind Boston. Actually, Buffalo, the team that they just demolished, is currently sitting there with 39 points. Metropolitan Division's been pretty good so far, so that's the only thing that's kind of holding the Flyers back at this point. But at this point, it does look like 5 Metropolitan Division teams hold on to playoff spots. Lots of things can change between now and the start of the playoffs, but that is the way that the cookie crumbles at this point. Flyers continue to look good, especially after the home return. We talked about the Oscar Lindblom factor a couple of days ago and the first game back for Oscar after his Ewing sarcoma diagnosis. Team obviously very emotional and fired up in their win over the Anaheim Ducks. Take care of business against Buffalo. And now, of course, they will take the show on the road to see if the good times can continue against Ottawa. That is coming up on Saturday. And then they will take on the New York Rangers at home on Monday, the 23rd. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to hop aboard. If you were at the game, if you were watching, if you were listening, taking your reaction right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. The NFL news as we continue this Eagles playoff push towards the, what I'm calling the Cruiserweight Championship of the World coming up against the Dallas Cowboys. Call it that because with all due respect to the Cruiserweights, once you match up with the heavyweights, well, you find out there's a reason why they have weight classes in most combat sports. You got the Eagles playing against the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott limited. In fact, not even practicing for the first time in his career. Now, I'm not going to make this a Wentz versus Dak thing, but super strange that a team doesn't have to worry about the health of their quarterback routinely. Dak Prescott with a hurt shoulder seems to be a sprain, but according to Prescott, says that he'll be good to go on Sunday. Hasn't taken a snap in practice the last 2 days. Hasn't attempted to throw. He might try to do that Friday or definitely on Saturday, he says, before the Cowboys fly to Philly for the de facto NFC East Championship game here at the Link. He said he's getting better. Mobility, function of it, it's all improving. That's the key. That's the goal. And I thought it was interesting. I saw earlier this week that Amari Cooper said he knew that something was up because he overheard Dak telling Michael Gallup, no matter what happens on the run-pass option, he's not going to pull it out and throw. Thought that was an interesting bit. So it's not just a bit of gamesmanship or anything like that. Or if it is, it's a weird thing for Amari Cooper to say in front of this game. You're really trying to throw the Eagles off that much where it's like they're not going to do any P in the run PO. But I didn't go back and check the game to see if that ended up being the case down the road. But at this point, Philadelphia dealing with all kinds of injuries of their own, so they know exactly what Dallas is going through on the other side. And, of course, they're not exactly crying crocodile tears for the Cowboys, as the Cowboys have gotten through kind of most of the season without experiencing similar injuries, or at least the volume of injuries that the Eagles have. The question on the table is this a big deal that Dak Prescott was missing practice or not? I tend to think that it is not. I tend to think that a lot of times by this point in the NFL season, everybody is really dealing with, like, not being hurt. A lot of people are injured at this point. And those guys are still gutting it out come Sunday, ready to go out there on the field. Training staffs help. Rehab protocols and, you know, shooting them up with Toradol or whatever else these guys do. I don't know. I'm not down there. I'm not a doctor either. But it seems that these guys are able to suck it up is not the right word, but to gather the strength and to be able, or not the right phrase, gather the strength to play on Sunday and then work through the consequences of that from Monday through Saturday. The Eagles, everybody knows the wide receiver position, they've been banged up. Defensive backfield, they've been banged up. They have injuries up and down their lineup. Linebacker's been a recent one that's gotten all kinds of issues. So now it's just going to be a matter of surviving this battle of attrition. And by the way, you've also got to take on the Dallas Cowboys, who, despite what their record says, looks like a pretty decent team from a talent perspective. Clearly that hasn't come together, and their coach hasn't done them any favors either. Jason Garrett has not done an excellent job of what you'd call elevating his team this season, but they're still just like the Eagles. You can point to as many warts as you'd like to on their playoff hopes and their playoff resume. They're still in control of their own destiny. Dallas wins, they win the NFC East. Eagles win, it's a huge step, but there's still work to do. And you've got to, well, there's no chance of resting the starters. You've either got to get one more win or one more Dallas loss. Either one will do, but it doesn't mean that you can sit your starters at that point. Your phone number to join the conversation is 610-632-0975. If you're looking in, what do you think of the fact that Dak Prescott hasn't practiced at all this week? Is that something that you anticipate could be a factor in the Eagles winning? Also, I saw this earlier, and I had a question about it, and I want to offer this to Tyler Zuli. I saw that Natalie was tweeting about this earlier, a Sherry Williams tweet. An apology from the Wawa CEO after a data breach hits the well-known convenience store chain. It involves credit card information, potentially, from all Wawa stores between March 4th and December 12th. According to 6ABC. Now, how in the world, first of all, how could that be possible? Like, how could it be that long of a period? And also, when are these companies going to finally start saying, you know what, these people use our products anyway, maybe we don't need to keep their credit card information on file over and over and over again forever? How many breaches does it take, Zuli? I don't understand.
I don't get the fact that you talk about that long period of time in a convenience store. This isn't mom and pop. This is the biggest convenience store in the Delaware Valley. You've probably scanned your card. I've scanned my card. I bet you, if you asked every single person that worked at this station, have you scanned your card at Wawa over the last 8 months? The answer is yes.
Yeah, between March and December. Look, I get it if it's a week. I get it if it's 3 days. You know, where it's like, oh yeah, the data from the, think about how many transactions that is. Now look, I'm not saying that it is Wawa's fault specifically, because I think in 2019, if somebody wants your data, they'll get it. I think if somebody decides that they want to get your information, they can get it. But holy smokes, that's a lot. That's a whole lot. And local flavor as well. Troubling. I do wonder how long it's going to take them to figure out the extent of the damage and also what steps are going to be taken after this, because it seems like every single company is at risk for this. And every couple of weeks, there's one that comes out and just says, oh, you know what? We had a big time breach of security. And it used to be no personal information was taken. You're not even seeing that anymore. Now it's like everybody's in on this. Everybody's got personal information that is at risk from this kind of stuff. It's getting to the point where you almost can't ignore the things that look like spam anymore. You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, yeah, we think that your information's been breached. It used to be like that's a dead giveaway that some Nigerian prince is trying to steal your accounts. Not anymore. Overall, it's a high-risk week here leading into things with the Eagles taking on the Cowboys for, like I said, the Cruiserweight Championship of the World, otherwise known as the NFC East title. Flyers continuing to do some stuff. And I've got to say, the world in Major League Baseball, which we haven't talked about a whole lot here, the world keeps turning from a free agent perspective, and the Phillies have been awfully quiet after starting things off kind of with a bang. Whether you like Zach Wheeler or not as an ace or a number two or whatever you think of him, at the very least, it's a splashy signing. Ditto for Didi Gregorius, where it's like, look, personally, not overjoyed with it, considering the fact that he had a down year coming off of Tommy John surgery. Don't know whether he's ever going to reclaim pre-Tommy John form or not. But at least they did some stuff. There's less stuff that's been going on since then. And don't look now, there are a lot of other teams that are doing a whole lot to try to boost their chances of winning the division. It's kind of like a reckoning time period here for a lot of these teams. And we talked about the Flyers and what they've done recently and the kind of run that they've been on after having a little bit of a lull on that road trip where you don't have Travis Konecny, you don't have Oscar Lindblom. You get Konecny back, and it seems like there's a little bit of a spark added. James Van Riemsdyk finds the net a couple of times here tonight. Things are kind of working out a little bit. But you do feel like for a lot of these other teams, it's a very important time period here. It's a very important couple of weeks where, for example, for the Phillies, for the Eagles, for the Sixers, who we haven't even talked about yet, and we will, these are teams that do have a lot of opportunity to either make or break the rest of their seasons. Obviously, with the Eagles, it's all kind of cut and dry, right? Because you're late in the season. It's pretty clear what you have to do. The playoff clinching scenarios, like I said, if you don't know what they are, they're easy to memorize now for the Eagles. It's pretty simple. Eagles have to beat Dallas and then get one more win or a Dallas loss. Either one is fine. For the Cowboys, they win. That's it. Period. They win the NFC East. So that's like fairly simple to understand in terms of the playoff tiebreakers and what the Eagles need to do, what their playoff scenarios are, and that sort of thing. So we understand that that's pretty much cut and dry, letter of the law type situations for the Eagles, considering the fact that it is later in the season. But for the Sixers, currently sitting at fifth in the Eastern Conference with a 20-9 record. Finally lose at home to a freaking zone defense. Which, two ways that you beat a zone defense: move the ball a ton and shoot the ball really well. I've got to admit, caps off to the Miami Heat, because I don't know why other people haven't thought of this yet. And we've been talking about the Eagles' issues and what they, or the Sixers' issues rather, and what they could run into in terms of perimeter shooting being in it, a problem for them, not having enough guys who can shoot from the outside. A zone defense is a pretty good way of showing that. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. And I'm not saying that everyone can defend the exact same way as the Miami Heat. And I'm not saying that everyone's going to install a zone defense specifically for the Sixers. The way that a regular season works in basketball, I mean, it's practices are very, very few and far between. They're limited. You're not going to be 100% game planning for every single team that you play in depth to the point where you're installing a brand new defense. But come a playoff series, you're absolutely going to see something like that unless the Sixers prove that they can handle it and they can find a way to deal with it. But they've lost back-to-back games, fallen behind the Raptors, the Heat, the Celtics, and the Bucks. But losing to the Nets and then the Heat at home, you know they've got to turn it around quickly against the Mavericks tomorrow. You can hear that game at 8 o'clock right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. Let's go to the phones with Chuck in Las Vegas to lead things off tonight. Chuck, you're on the Joe Torti Show. Chuck, you with us?
JT, you got me?
Yeah, you sound great, man. What's going on?
Just excited for this game, man. Just excited for this game. Great opportunity for the Birds.
What do you think about the Dak Prescott lack of practice this week? You think that's going to be a big deal?
Well, you know, I was surprised to hear that, Joe. I didn't know that was the case. I'd have to find out some more about that. Could be no big deal. Could be something. I'm putting my trust in Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz this week. Both teams have been awful this year. But you know what? The Eagles are 2 years removed from the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do have that experience. And the Cowboys, this group of Cowboys, they really only know disappointment.
Mm-hmm. True. So, I mean, Chuck, I guess the question is, does that experience, right, the experience of the Eagles versus what the Cowboys have experienced, kind of offset what looked like a pretty clear difference in talent between the two teams the first time that these guys locked up?
I think so, man. I think so. This is a big spot. You know, Dallas has to come out here to Philadelphia, play a 4:30 game, cold weather. Maybe I'm just looking for reasons, Joe, because I don't love our team. I don't love our receivers. But you know what? I believe in our head coach and I believe in our quarterback. And, you know, look, it's been a rough year. It's been a tumultuous year, but let's have some fun. Let's stick behind these guys. For anyone who says, oh, I don't want to get my hopes up, forget about that. You don't have to get your hopes up. You know, let's just stick behind these guys. They don't deserve a pass for the Super Bowl, but they do deserve our support here coming down the stretch. So, you know, Eagles, Cowboys, let's have some fun, man. Let's get that W.
Well said, Chuck. Well said. Thanks for the phone call tonight, man. Really appreciate it. I've got to say this, though. Just from an eye test perspective, I think the Eagles are in better shape than they've been in the past, right? Because I know that, are you saying that Greg Ward is better than so-and-so? Are you saying that Boston Scott's better than so-and-so? Look, I don't know about that. I don't know if that's true or not. What I'm saying is that the biggest issue that the Eagles had was a lack of explosiveness and a lack of speed. And Ward and Scott provide both of those things in a way that Mac Hollins doesn't, in a way that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside doesn't, in a way that Alshon Jeffrey doesn't. And who knows if DeSean Jackson's ever going to get back to that ever again, right? So I'm not saying that these guys are world beaters. I'm not saying that Boston Scott is this elite-level running back. I'm not saying that Miles Sanders is the second coming of LaDainian Tomlinson or anything like that. But what I will say is that based on what we've seen in the last 2 weeks in particular, it seems that this Eagles team is much better equipped to deal with the things that Dallas does well this time around as opposed to last time around. Now, Leighton Vander Esch being out, if he is, would be a huge boon for the Eagles because of the impact that he makes in covering tight ends and controlling the ground game. That would be a nice hit for the Eagles right there. Then, of course, having the moment not be too big for the guys that we were just talking about, and Greg Ward and Boston Scott, would certainly make a big difference. And the other thing is, and this is something that's come to me fairly recently here, and it's something that I've been thinking about and trying to figure out if it was real or not. I think that I've settled on yes. And Tyler, you can weigh in on this too. Based on the last couple of weeks, despite the fact that Carson Wentz, who I have affectionately referred to in the past as the fumbler and will continue to affectionately refer to him as until that gets addressed, as much as he's played a role in the team falling behind to the two bad NFC East teams, the comebacks have also been pretty squarely on him and on Doug Peterson. So I do wonder if those two guys, not for their careers, but for, certainly for this year, for 2019, I wonder if those two guys have turned a corner that way and maybe have some stuff in their bag that they didn't before. I had no idea whether Carson Wentz could lead an overtime drive or could be perfect in the fourth quarter the way that he has been recently here. And the fact that he's been able to do so does give me confidence in a tight game like I anticipate this one being. Do you see that too?
Yeah, there's a swagger there that I don't think was there a couple of weeks ago. I don't know how long that carries because you can only ride an emotional high for so long. And magic may run out. Magic may run out this week. Magic may run out in the wild card round if they find a way to make the playoffs when, you know, the San Francisco 49ers or the Seattle Seahawks or the Minnesota Vikings come to town. Magic may find its way to run out. But what I have seen from these guys over the last 2 weeks is resiliency and the willingness to accept a flaw and work on it. And I think that they've improved in a couple of areas, more so than just the fourth quarter drives.
Well, I mean, there are definitely plenty of areas that they had to improve on ahead of time here. The other thing, and the other thing that's characteristic of this team that I think does carry over, because I think you're 100% right, Tyler, in that there's some things that just don't. There are some things that don't carry over no matter what. But I think the DNA of this team has been fairly consistent, whether the team's been good or bad. I think it was true in 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019. And that's this. When you absolutely have to have it, when you absolutely have no other option but to bring it, this team has responded, whether they're good or bad. Does make a difference.
And I think that that's an issue. I think that's a flaw within the team. I believe I was producing for Joe Stazak when we had this conversation, is they play well when their backs are against the wall. It's true. Why have we had to, over the last two seasons, get to that point?
Right.
For this to be a viable football team. For this to be a team to go, yeah, they could win the division. Yeah, they could win a wild card game. You looked at last year's team, and for the first 14 weeks of the year, they were MIA. They beat up on Deshaun Watson and a good Texans team, and all of a sudden they could play again?
Right.
Why is it when their back's against the wall, they're a good football team?
So shocking. And the question you asked a different way than you just laid it out there is, why is their back always against the wall like this time of year?
Because they put themselves in those spots.
That's exactly it. If you take care of business against the teams that you should, which, I mean, things have changed for Detroit. People say that Detroit stinks. I would like to see what Detroit looked like with Matthew Stafford continuing to play the way that he was playing before the back injury, right? The Atlanta Falcons, that loss is garbage. That team's really, really bad. Two wins makes a big difference. Makes a huge difference this time of year. We're not even talking. We're talking about the division already being wrapped up. Dallas can't catch you. That's the difference. Now, you get some back that you shouldn't. No way they should have beaten Green Bay. If Devontae Adams stays healthy, there's no chance that they do beat Green Bay because he was literally indefensible. But still, having said that, you know, they do put themselves back against the wall, it's hard for me to think of reasons to go against them in this spot, because this is a you absolutely need it conversation.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the Atlanta game. The one thing that I don't like to fall into the trap of is talking about games at specific times. If the Eagles would have played Miami in week one, they probably would have beat them by 30. If the Eagles played Buffalo last week, the Bills would have beaten them. So you kind of get these counterbalances where,
sure,
you know, you play who you play when you play them.
Teams kind of grow and evolve over the course of the season. That's 100% true. But the other half of it is, when you are a team like the Eagles, who has grown and evolved and things like that, it's are you playing your best at the right time? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say that the Eagles are playing their best. But on the flip side, they're certainly better than they were at the midpoint. You know, there are improvements. There have been improvements to the team. Now, injuries have continued to mount. I don't necessarily, by the way, think that linebackers are a huge deal because they don't really rely on their linebackers to do a whole lot outside of Nigel Bradham anyway. They've survived with the secondary. I'm encouraged by what I've seen from the wide receivers recently, even outside of Greg Ward. I think playing the Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert in wide receiver roles has actually worked out okay for Philadelphia. Look, it's not perfect. Obviously, everybody wants to have a collection of weapons that you feel really good about, right? But not everybody has those. You've got to find ways to adapt. You've got to find ways to adjust, and you've got to find ways to execute even with all of the injuries, and DeSean Jackson's not walking back through the door. Sometimes those things are hard to work out against the elite level teams. But playing Washington and playing New York, I think that it does give the Eagles a little bit of runway here to have figured out life after those guys, to figure out how you're going to properly utilize Greg Ward. What does Boston Scott do really well? And Miles Sanders has continued to take strides where he's had, at this point, the most successful rookie campaign of any Eagles running back ever from a statistical standpoint. Now, you can say that there are a lot of reasons for that and who were the established backs when the rookies came in, and 100% you're correct. But on the other hand, you know, you don't always get to, like Tyler was just saying, you don't always get to say, oh, you played him at this point in the season and it's different then, blah, blah, blah. It kind of is what it is. Miles Sanders has done it catching. He's done it running the ball. Despite the fact that he was given every opportunity to succeed early on in the season and didn't really do that, he certainly caught fire recently here and he's playing really well. Let's go to Sean in Philly next on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Yo, Joe, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, man.
Good, man. Good. I just want to talk about the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Sure.
And, I know a lot of people saying they're not having a lot of faith in Doug and Carson. You know, I got a lot of faith in them. I mean, Carson, I mean, he's found the ways to win. I know it was not that good against the Giants and the Redskins, but he did it. He found the weapons of Boston Scott. He found Ward. He's making the people that weren't so big earlier in the year be big now. And now they're scoring, they're producing. Like I said, they barely did win against the Giants in their team. They barely did beat the Redskins. But essentially, I feel very comfortable with them against Dallas. I wouldn't say, you know, I can step back and say they're going to crush them. No, I'm not saying that at all. But I just want your input on what you think, honestly, because I think that them being able to adjust, this is giving Carson time to figure out what he's got, what he's going to be able to do, and how to beat the Cowboys. And I got a lot of faith in my Birds, man.
Well, Sean, here's what I'll say, right? I would say that going into the first Dallas game, I think that there were reasons to see it coming the way that it went. You know, I think that Dallas is playing really hot, and they got way up for the Eagles game. I thought the Eagles were smelling themselves a little bit, and then obviously they got smacked. But I think going into this one, there's no reason to think that it's a blowout game either way. And considering what the Eagles have gone through, that's all you can ask for. Like, if you got the chance and it's a field goal game either way at the end, I think that you're exactly where you should be. So why not? If the Eagles, I think the Eagles have the better kicker in the game. I think they've got the better offense overall when you consider everything, Boston Scott, Miles Sanders, and everything else. I think that there's a good reason to think that they can hang in and win.
Oh, yeah, man, and them playing, you know, this season, the Packers, the Bills, them having that team and them beating those two teams. I mean, Dallas has only beat the one team over 500, the Rams. Now, granted, yes, they did pound them. However, what I'm trying to say is that they have these weapons. They have Cooper. They have Austin. They have Randall Cobb. They got Gallup. They have all these weapons that Dallas people will say, oh, yeah, this our team's better. Well,
right.
If your team's better, why are you at the same record with the Eagles, if we don't have the same exact, you know, we're losing, we lost D-Jack, we don't have Howard, we don't have Jeffrey, you know, Barnett's out, Johnson's hurt, like, we have all these injuries, but yeah, we're finding out ways, we're adjusting, and I think I think we're going to be fine. I got a lot of faith. I got a lot of faith, man.
Well, Coach, I'm so glad to hear that, Sean, because I think that you should. I mean, there's no reason when the other team's quarterback is injured coming into the game, and there's no reason why you look at the head coaching matchup. And whether you think that Doug Peterson is a great coach or not, I think some of the shine has come off of Doug Peterson overall as a coach a little bit, but he's still in a different weight class than Jason Garrett is. I would view Jason Garrett as keeping his teams from winning games. And then sometimes Doug Peterson doesn't always do everything to help the Eagles win games. And I think there's a massive difference there between not helping the team win and keeping them from winning. So you got an advantage there. You've probably got an advantage at quarterback, considering the fact that Dak is injured and Wentz has gotten a couple of come-from-behind drives here under his belt, starting to trust his weapons, get into a rhythm. You got Miles Sanders there. Ezekiel Elliott has been okay, hasn't been great shakes this year. Eagles' offensive line playing better than Dallas's offensive line has. I'm just saying, I think that it's going to be a pretty hotly close contested game, and that's all you can ask for at this point for the division. Nick is leaving the Flyers game on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys, what's up?
How you doing?
Hey, good.
Good.
Real quick about the Eagles, you know, I think I agree with what you just said about it's definitely not going to be a blowout game. You know, I think we just got to keep things simple just like we did again. I know it's kind of weird that we're barely beating three-win teams, but, you know, just keep things simple, and I think it works. You know, we found out what works with, like, you know, going to the next guy up mentally and, you know, hope for the best.
Well, so, Nick, what is there a matchup or something like that that gives you the confidence that the Eagles can hang in there, or what gives you the idea that it is going to be a close game?
What gives me a close game is obviously, you know, the Cowboys, say what you want about them, but, you know, they're better, obviously, than the Giants and Redskins. Mm-hmm. So the matchup is kind of the factor of, will these guys who have stepped up big in the past two games, will they, you know, overcome that? You know, obviously they'll just be focused in the game, and it's just a matchup of the guys that have stepped up big to see how they respond into a, say, bigger game than the past two games.
I mean, it makes sense, Nick, and I don't think, thanks for the phone call, that Greg Ward or Boston Scott is going to be at the top of anybody's scouting report, right? I'm trying to think of the way that Ertz is still first. And then it's probably Sanders after that. And then, you know, who are you really worried about? J.J. Arcega-Whiteside had better not be on anybody's scouting report. Not sure about the availability of several of the other Eagles wide receivers this week.
It's probably still Goddard at three.
Right? You'd have to think so. So I saw today that Nelson Agholor has significant swelling in his knee. So he's probably not going to go. Greg Ward, can you really put him on the scout with one big game? I don't know. And then, of course, there's a big conspiracy group that is saying that that Jordan Howard has been waiting for this game. 5 weeks Jordan Howard's been out with his shoulder injury, limited on Wednesday. Ronald Darby was also limited. Fletcher Cox was limited. Brandon Brooks was limited as well. So there are a lot of people that potentially could go or not. Alshon Jeffrey's obviously on injured reserve. DeSean Jackson, injured reserve. They're the walking wounded out there. Anybody else fun coming up from the practice squad that we need to familiarize ourselves with?
The only one they got left is Mark and Michelle.
Ah, yes. Sony Michelle's brother. He actually had a pretty good preseason, by the way, for the Eagles.
Yeah, so did Paul Turner.
Yes. New England Patriots legend Paul Turner to you. Don't get it twisted. Put some respect on
Paul's
name.
You're right. I got to put some respect on his name. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
610-632-0975, your phone number to join the conversation. You can also reach out to the show on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5. The Fanatic Tyler Zuli is on at Tyler Zuli. And Greg Cobbs 26. Sends a video from the Flyers game, says Eagles should go sign this guy. And it's Gritty catching passes the Flyers game, throwing a football around behind the net at the Mites game. See the video of the mascot just running over those kids? You didn't see this, Tyler?
Dude, I got to tell you, and you're going to call me crazy.
I'm ready.
I hate mascots.
You're not a big fan?
So much. It's not one particular.
I just
don't like the idea of the mascot.
Are you frightened of it, or does it?
No,
like,
and I understand it's objective. The mascot is not for me or you.
Right.
We're there to watch the game. The mascot is for kids, those less interested in the game itself.
Right.
I don't know. They just kind of weird me out.
All right. Okay. So you would, to conclude, you would not be a big fan of the Eagles signing Gritty to be a
tight end. I never said that. If he can catch, we're in. If he can make plays, we're in. I don't care.
610-632-0975. You can also reach out, like I said, on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5, The Fanatic at Tyler Zuli to reach Tyler. That was a good tweet. Okay, coming up, we are going to continue to break down the Eagles matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. Dak Prescott limited in practice, did not practice for the first time in his career with a shoulder injury. He says that he's good to go. He says that he's going to be ready to continue throughout the pain, deal with it, make it all the way through, and he'll be ready to go on Sunday. But I do wonder, is Dak Prescott a veteran enough quarterback that you don't need to take reps during the week and still stay sharp for Sunday? Meanwhile, as Carson Wentz turned a corner, I wonder if Doug Peterson's also turned a little bit of a corner. It seems like Doug has to relearn the run-pass balance every single season. And if he has, you know what? I guess it's better late than never. 610-632-0975. Also, if you're coming home from the Flyers game, Flyers win 6-1 over the Buffalo Sabres. No Jack Eichel, but the Flyers aren't complaining about that at all. What'd you think of the game? Of course, we got to talk a little bit of Philly. So I don't think that I've gotten Tyler Zuli's thoughts on the Phillies' move so far, and I'd like to get yours as well. It is the Joe Torti Show. We're hanging out together until midnight, so keep it locked right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. Flyers take down the Sabres 6-1. Eagles taking on Dallas. Phillies kind of radio silence, not doing a whole lot of anything. Sixers have lost two in a row. They're back at it tomorrow against the Mavericks. It's all kind of on the table tonight, but the big thing that we're looking at is the news that Dak Prescott hasn't practiced, won't practice much this week, and yet he still proclaims that he'll be ready to go against the Eagles on Sunday. I mean, you're probably feeling pretty good about it regardless with a healthy Dak Prescott. You're feeling better about it if Prescott has a shoulder issue and anything like pounding hard outs or something like that's going to be more difficult for him. In the event that he can't go, that's a completely different thing entirely. And that is something that we should really think about in terms of, look, it's a playoff game effectively for the Cowboys. So it's not likely that it's going to be the Cooper Rush show. But if it is, you should feel pretty good. Let's go to Nolan and Glenmore next on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good evening, Nolan.
Hey, Joe. How you doing, man?
Awesome. Thank you.
Good. I got an Eagles question for you, and I do have a quick Phillies point.
Let it rip.
So for the Eagles, Joe, is this finally the week that we see our breakout second-round pick, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, arrive. I want to know your take. I feel like he's one of those guys every week. I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is the week. And I'm like, I see like a flash here there. But do you think maybe this is the week, you know, that he's the unexpected guy? And then Boston Scott coming. Is this the week J.J. makes a breakout game?
It'd be fantastic, Nolan. What I think is, I think that it's going to be pretty rare that he has a game where he has like 100 yards receiving and 9 catches or something like that. What I could see, though, and what he was utilized at Stanford and how I thought he'd be utilized here is kind of like a red zone specialist, like a touchdown guy specifically. If he's not high on the depth chart and he's not high on the scouting report either, then it's possible that if they work that package in for him and he has a score or two, that it could kind of be his breakout game.
Yeah, I have to think there's a way maybe they can get him in the end zone somehow. I mean, I'm holding out hope because I'm tired of these wide receiver picks not panning out. But quickly to the Phillies, I was checking out their projected roster today. I know they still have to go through training camp, mm-hmm. and there might be – I'm praying there's another signing. And I'm not unhappy with who they signed. I think it's okay. But do you feel like they're just checking a box? Like, I like the shortstop, but, I mean, it's not really something we needed. You need a third baseman. I think you need a center fielder. And you need a bench. There's no new arms at the bullpen right now. Like, you're telling me, like, Sir Anthony and Hector and all those guys are just going to be okay? Like, I'm looking at the lineup. I'm like, this just, not even is it not good enough to win the NL East. It's not good enough just to compete. It's just, it's really lacking blatantly in many areas.
Well, so here's, I think that they really, really want Adam Haseley to play center field. I think that that's really what they want to make happen. The question is now, if you don't move Segura, what are you going to do with Scott Kingery again? Is he going to be bouncing all over the place because you have Gregorius at short? Like, I'm with you. The DD move, well, I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. From a very practical standpoint, I had a ton of questions. I was like, how are they going to make this work with who they have here?
Yeah, and that's really my frustration with them. I don't mind taking a chance at something, but I feel like they're just not decisive. Like, I'd rather them say, put Bowman third. That's just what we do. No matter how it happens,
right.
Starting at third. I wish they would just make a move like that, and I don't know why they're so hesitant. It's almost like they're afraid of mistakes. But I'll tell you, the other thing scares me, like, who's your fifth starter? You telling me you're going to run Vince Velasquez out there for the train wreck part two?
Man, Nolan, I hadn't even thought that far. Thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. But yeah, you look at the rotation. Wow. Arrieta, Nola, Wheeler, Eflin are probably the locks, right? Not in that order, but like those four. Nola, Wheeler, Arrieta, Eflin.
Yes.
And then you figure out what you want to do. Is it Irvin?
As of right now, it's Pivetta. Because it won't be Irvin to start.
Velasquez.
Because very much, I know it. This move, more than anything, bugs people to death. MLB's a business. And therefore, they're not going to waste that Super 2 year and that arbitration
right.
clock.
Yeah.
So Cole, the earliest Cole Irvin will be up is the end of April.
Right. So you got to survive until then.
Is it surviving, though? I don't even know. I mean, the guy's been good in the minors.
But
I
don't mean that he's going to be like the be-all, end-all savior, but he's a guy that you anticipate is going to have some spot in your rotation.
You sure hope so.
In the future. You'd hope so. I do wonder what's going to happen to Segura, though, now. It wouldn't surprise me to see him moved at all, considering what we've seen of his talent and the number of teams that he's been on. Right? Like, he strikes me as a guy who wears out his welcome in clubhouses.
Well, and that's the thing. You talk about Segura. I look at him and in the less than a calendar year, I went from, my goodness, what a trade, to, quite honestly, I don't care if this guy's back.
Right. Exactly. You a Wheeler fan? Do you like the move?
I do. I like the Wheeler move in parts. And I'm not a care about money guy because A, it's not my money, and B, baseball money's made up.
Yeah, it's fake. Yeah.
But they need another arm. Wow. And I would go and get someone else.
Well, people are already going is my problem.
Well, and that's the thing, is you're not going to get another one or two. But you need a competent 3-4 that allows your rotation to kind of settle where Zach Eflin's the 5.
Maybe a lefty.
Well, I mean, a lefty would be ideal.
How about that? They just don't care. They just don't care. They just don't care about finding lefties. Dallas Keuchel would have been perfect.
Vargas was the guy. I mean, that's the only lefty that started for them outside of Ranger Suarez.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. A lot of work to be done for the Phillies. And they're not doing a whole lot of work right now.
Well, they keep saying they don't want to go over that threshold unless they are a championship team.
What happened to stupid money? That's stupid. Spending two times the dollars for $1, that is the definition of stupid.
Well, stupid money, to be fair, if you're talking about Bryce Harper's stupid money, Zach Wheeler's stupid money.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, he is, for what he's worth.
Well, and I heard him talking about the Gerrit Cole progression and saying, like, you know, Gerrit Cole took a while to put everything together. He always had the tools, and then you saw what happened to him last year. I'm hoping that I can make a similar jump in my career. And I was talking to Pat Egan about it, actually, and he was like, really? You're gonna bring the Astros pitching coach up here? You know, the training staff for the Astros pitchers, they all coming up here? Because everybody who goes there succeeds, and then they take it with them elsewhere. Haven't really seen that in a lot of other places.
Well, and that's the funny thing, too, that you mentioned that, because that was like a natural progression and a natural change, because everything in the early to mid-2010s was the Pittsburgh Pirates are Reclamation Central.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you go to resurrect your career. And then it kind of slowly and gradually became Houston.
Oh, yeah.
I'm interested to see what it becomes next.
Philly.
No, I think it may lean to a... This is just a one man's opinion. I think it may lean towards another AL West team.
Oh, AL West. Okay. Yeah. All right. I was going to say, don't say an NL East team.
No, I actually think that the Texas Rangers are starting to figure things out.
Interesting. We'll get into that more. For now, we head to Denzel in West Philly on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Denzel? How you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks. What's up?
I'm good. I called to talk about Dak Prescott and the Eagles. I don't that him not practicing. It doesn't sway me one way or the other. Honestly, I don't think they believe he needs to beat this team. I want to say I am an Eagles fan, but this matchup just scares the life out of me. Like, with this defense and like their style of play, even our defense, like we susceptible to the big plays. They got Mari Cooper, and like a lot of the things like that they have, like their speed with a sense of power, their offensive line moves people, their defensive line moves people. It's just I just want Carson Wentz to come out with a head after this game, honestly.
So are you worried about their defensive front? Because they've been, obviously, Van Der Esch might not go. That's kind of dicey. And I don't know, man. I think their offensive line hasn't played as well this year as they have in years past. I think they might be able to be had.
Yeah, I think that the same can be said for the Giants and or Washington and the Dolphins, and the Eagles just don't get pressure. That can be said times five for those things that I just mentioned. But the Eagles just don't generate pressure. They don't bring extra pressure. Like, Jim Schwartz is stuck in his ways with his thinking. I hear a lot of the people saying this is the same person that we had when we went to the Super Bowl. It's not much different. You take out Chris Long and a few other defensive players that we got on the line. But for the most part, this is the same secondary that was getting burnt, the same everything. It's just the offense isn't supplementing it anymore. And I don't think it can hold up with this. I think this is going to be a blowout.
No, you do. Oh, wow. Denzel, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Vegas doesn't seem to think so, but I anything's possible when these two teams lock up, to be completely honest. I don't agree that it's the same team, though. I mean, a 2016 car is not the same 2 years later. You know, you get miles, things change, things break. Alshon Jeffrey of 2 years ago is way different than Alshon Jeffrey now. Nelson Agholor, clearly, of 2 years ago, way different than Nelson Agholor now. But the point stands. I mean, Dallas is a good team. They're a talented team. Let me say that. They're a talented team. They're not good, because they haven't done enough winning for them to be good. 610-632-0975. More of this next. It's the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh yeah, you're listening to The Love Connection. Jay Tord's here with you. Tyler Zuli pushing the buttons. I have to admit, this is a new one. I haven't heard this one, but I'm glad that you're still here. Both of you who are still listening after that return, thank you very much. I appreciate you. The Milwaukee Bucks need to calm the hell down. Things are getting a little aggressive with the Milwaukee Bucks. They Giannis hits five threes in the win. And now the Bucks in first place in the NBA in terms of points. I don't know if that'll last, but when Devon Gibbons and I were doing our predictions, that is the way that I anticipated that things would go, be that the Bucks had the best record in all of the NBA. But it's a little early for that. I thought that it would happen a little later. They need to calm the hell down because things are going a little crazy in Milwaukee. Giannis is doing crazy MVP things again. Beat the Lakers tonight. Craziness.
Well, and Joe, too, the one thing that I think you and I agreed on when you guys were doing those predictions was that the Bucks should be the better team seed-wise because of the fact they play in the Central.
Sure.
But now they lost to, obviously, the Mavericks the other night, but they are beating other teams that are legit title contenders, such as the Lakers.
Well, and the other thing that we were talking about, too, and Tyler, you were here for this, too, it's time for the Mavericks slander to end. Like, that team's got too much, especially when Luka's there. They've got too much to be like, oh, that team's garbage. There are a lot of garbage teams in the NBA, and there's a good chance that if, you know, say Giannis isn't there, or very, very small numbers of other players, that they've got the best guard on the floor any given night. And if you got the best guard, you're probably going to win.
Well, and it's kind of funny, too. You look at that team, and them, much like the Miami Heat, everybody goes, oh, it's a couple games, settle down, they're not playing anybody good. At some point, good has to just be good.
Right. That's exactly it. And good's been pretty good for the Lakers, too. By the way, that's a big L for me. Didn't think that was going to come together the way that it has. But the Bucks, Bucks are looking just fine at this point. Speaking of just fine, we're looking for the Sixers to get to that point. I didn't know that they would dip to fifth in the Eastern Conference standings at literally any point. I had no anticipation that that would happen. After the hot start that the Celtics had, but the Bucks have started to heat up here, and the Heat themselves, you got some good teams in the Eastern Conference. I have to admit, if you anticipated it was going to be an easy Sixers and Bucks romp through the conference, you were mistaken, which is to say that we were mistaken so far. Now, there's lots of time. There's lots of time for things to work out and settle the way that we anticipated. But with the Pacers and pretty much everybody else kind of packed all around that 4-5-6 range where the Sixers inhabit, it's going to take some work to put some distance between yourselves and the rest of the teams in the Eastern Conference. Now, there's still time to figure it out. Not a big fan of the zone defense, though, to shut down the Sixers. That was a little bit too effective for my liking, and they played it for a long time. It wasn't something that came in spurts in big moments or whatever. The Miami Heat decided that this was the default way that they were going to attack the Sixers. Tyler, you think that that's a blueprint for how to defend this team, or does Miami just have the tools to do it?
Yeah, I don't know if it's exactly a blueprint, because I think Miami has a young, aggressive, athletic team that can run that kind of defense for a while and push the Sixers to the perimeter. But what my concern has become, and I talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago, there are systematic flaws with the Sixers, and they have become evident. And quite honestly, I am really tired of hearing, well, we got to wait till Christmas. Well, we've only played 40% of our games with our starters. It's excuse after excuse after excuse. This is the team. This is it. There's no more big moves, no more big free agents.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to get this thing right.
Yeah, this is it. Remember, we've been waiting for the buyout period forever. You know what I mean? With the Sixers, it feels like we've been waiting to add somebody at the buyout. Oh, they're going to get a shooter at the buyout period. You're going to get a veteran defender at the buyout period, blah, blah, blah. You're right. There's no roster spots. There's no room. This is the crew. This is exactly who it's going to be. And I'm with you in terms of there being systemic issues with the team. Like, there are certainly problems that they're going to have, in particular, scoring from the perimeter. And in the event that they are not, I'm not saying that this is likely because of the way that the team is made up, but in the event that the defense does not buoy them, they're going to have some difficult times winning basketball games. Now, they're defending at a level beyond which most metrics have measured defense, you know, over the last 3 or 4 years. But there have been lapses. There have been foul issues. There have been breaks in concentration. It seems like a big ask to say, well, we're going to have you have to play at this elite level defensively in order for you to win games, because offensively it's going to be such an uneven mess. And you're starting to hear the problem too, is that you're starting to hear the frustration when Joel Embiid's addressing the media and things like that. The team doesn't seem like they're having that much fun.
Yeah, and I mean, if you listen to what Brett Brown said in his press conference prior to the game yesterday, he talked about Ben Simmons and talked about space and how sometimes he's in space and doesn't use that space correctly.
Mm.
There are internal issues with the team.
Mm. It's not what we want to hear. But as Tyler hates hearing, there is time to work this out. There is an opportunity and some room still to go here, but I wouldn't mind if they got moving here a little bit more quickly than they have been.
Well, and there is still time, but these games, while they don't determine your finals outcome, what they do determine is the difference between playing Game 7 at the Wells Fargo Center or playing Game 7 at the TD Bank Garden or Scotiabank Arena.
Sure.
Or wherever, you know, Fiserv Forum.
Well, and here, I am willing to buy the idea that the Sixers are equipped to win on the road. I'm willing to buy that idea. I'd rather not have to test it. I'd rather not have to test it year one, considering the fact that this is going to be the group, outside of some bench pieces, this is going to be the group for like the foreseeable future, next like 2 or 3 years. They can take the show on the road later. Let's have everything taken care of at home first. Baby steps. There's no need to go on the conquering war path when you're still trying to figure out how to play together, especially in a playoff atmosphere. When we've seen a team in the Sixers the last 2 years that has looked pretty darn good and pretty darn scary falter in the playoffs against a veteran together team. And that has been an issue that I don't want to see repeated this year. 610-632-0975. Final hour of the show coming up next. Plenty of more ground to cover. Right here it is, the Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.